Hello again, this is the Roundup on CBC Radio, and it's time for Monday Playbill and the next episode of the Dudley Chronicles. Michelle is finding everything in Dudley, including Kevin, to be utterly predictable. Kevin's defense that church ministers are supposed to be stable and reliable and dependable just isn't holding water. This episode of the Dudley Chronicles is called Other People.
Marriage is a smorgasbord, a fully loaded buffet of emotions and experience. It's all you can eat. Sometimes sour, sometimes sweet, sometimes bitter. You get the idea. Michelle and I have been married for 8 weeks. And if there's one thing I know for sure in my life at this moment, it's this. The honeymoon is over. Don't get me wrong. Our relationship is better and stronger than ever. No question. We're blissfully happy. We really are. We're ecstatic, and while this is unquestionably true, it's also true we're working out some issues, as it were. Some of the, kinks. Perfect example, breakfast. I'm having what I like to call my mixture. 3 different types of cereal, half a banana chopped up, skim milk, touch of yogurt, all mixed together. Michelle, who doesn't eat before noon, is drinking coffee and staring at me.
Enjoying your breakfast?
It's my mixture.
I know it's your mixture, Kevin. I'm asking, are you enjoying your mixture?
I always enjoy my mixture.
Mm, you certainly do.
It's my standard breakfast.
Mm, it certainly is.
I don't think I'm following.
You know what? That doesn't surprise me.
Is this going to be one of those days?
What days?
Those days when we have many, many conversations, but I never know what the hell we're talking about.
And why is that, do you think?
You see, right there, that's a perfect example.
Kevin, how long have we been married?
8 weeks.
And before that, we lived together for
10 months.
And in all that time, can you tell me how many mornings you've come downstairs and not had your mixture? How many mornings you've had some other food, some other breakfast, other than your mixture?
Sometimes I go to the cafe.
Yes, you do. And what do you have at the cafe?
Well,
2 eggs over easy. Tell Phyllis to make sure the white is cooked, but the yolk is still runny. 3 sausages, hash browns, coffee. I'll wait for a fresh pot and brown toast butter on the side.
Look,
every time, Kevin. Every time. I'll give you one guess. What the hell am I talking about?
Her eyes are sort of bugging out of her head. I think she's in some kind of caffeine frenzy.
You're saying I need to lose weight?
I'm going to work.
Hey, hang on, Michelle. Michelle! I catch up to her on the street.
Just a second.
I'm starting to understand why people go crazy. It's because of other people.
Can I have another guess?
No.
You're saying I'm boring.
I'm saying, Kevin, that you're worse than boring. I'm saying you're dreary. I'm saying you're mind-numbingly tedious.
Hey.
How do you think I feel? Knowing that till death do us part, I will never, ever be surprised by anything you ever do or say. Ever. Are you familiar with Sisyphus? That's who I feel like. I am Sisyphus, and you, my friend, you are the stone.
Can we define our term?
No.
Because when you say boring and
tedious.
Tedious, thank you. I think what you really mean is stable.
No, I mean boring.
That I have a newfound balance. A hitherto unsuspected equanimity. A kind of, for want of a better word, serenity.
Don't take it personally, Kevin. It's not just you. Look at me. I'm walking into work. You know what I'm going to do when I get there?
Well, yeah.
Exactly the same thing I did yesterday. Every week I put out the newspaper, which is identical to the week before. The date is different. I changed the names, but it's the same story. This week in Dudley, nothing happened. But that's not the worst thing. You know what the worst thing is?
Well,
It's my fault. I contribute to the tedium with my tedious paper. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What do you call those circle things that just keep going around and around and around?
Vicious?
Yeah, it's a vicious circle, and I'm complicit. You know what I need to do?
Yes.
I need to stop the circle. Shake things up.
No, what you need to do is calm down.
I knew you were going to say that.
And another thing.
Don't blame it on the coffee.
You need to ease up on the coffee, Michelle. You're in a frenzy
here. I knew you were going to do that.
I'm serious.
Leave me alone. Go away, boring man.
Michelle.
I am Sisyphus. I am Sisyphus.
What you need is to eat something. Oh.
I'm not worried. It's the coffee talking, not her. She doesn't mean it. It's the, you know, the smorgasbord. You gotta work out the kinks. On my way to the church, I swing by Verna's constituency office. Verna's been up in Edmonton in the legislature. Her very first session as Dudley MLA. And I'm a little surprised she's back so soon. As I walk in, Harold is at the front desk.
Hi, Reverend. Geez, you must be psychic.
I heard a rumor that Verna was back.
I was just going to call you. As soon as I figure out how this damn thing works. You ever used one of these?
A telephone?
I can't get a dial thingy. I've been punching the buttons all morning.
Where's Verna? Is she in her office?
Have you got an appointment, Reverend?
A what?
She's not seeing people without an appointment. It's her new policy. How's 2 o'clock sound?
Sounds ridiculous, Harold. What are you... Verna!
Reverend, please. You have to make an appointment.
I look at him properly for the first time. He's sweating. He looks terrified. Harold, are you okay? What's going on?
Reverend!
There she is. Hey, welcome home.
Thanks, Reverend. Great to be back.
So, what happened?
What did that mean?
Well, I just thought you were going to be up there for a couple more months.
Oh, I know, me too, but it turns out I'm supposed to be here in my riding. That's what the party told me, and who am I to argue?
You mean while everyone else is up in the legislature, you're down here?
That's right.
I don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it? There's nothing to get. That's just how it is. I have to tell you, Reverend, I am having the time of my life. What a fantastic job. Public service. I just love it. I love it. I love it. So, I see you've met my new chief of staff.
That's me.
Harold's your chief of staff?
Isn't that great?
He's going to look after all my appointments, media relations, community outreach, all my correspondence.
So, let me get this straight. You're giving Harold responsibility?
Oh, that reminds me, Verna. You know this big phone-type looking thing here?
What about it?
You should have seen it this morning. It was spewing out paper, and guess what? The paper had writing on it.
Harold, that's a fax machine.
What did the paper say?
I got it right here. I saved it for you. Oh, also, I was trying to turn on this computer thing, but I can't find the remote.
I glance over at Verna. She's staring at the fax, biting her lip. She looks a little pale. Everything okay, Verna?
Yes. Yes, fine, fine.
Who's the fax from?
Gordy.
Who's Gordy?
Gordy Purdy. He works for the party. And according to this, he's coming down to Dudley for a visit. Isn't that great? Anyway, Reverend, Harold and I should get back to work.
You bet.
We got a big day, don't we, Harold?
I guess so.
There's a ribbon-cutting ceremony tomorrow for the new microwave tower out on the highway, and Harold has to do the coordinating for everything, don't you, Harold?
I guess so.
We should have a meeting right now in my office. Let's go. See you later, Reverend.
Are you going to be at the church, Reverend, a little bit later? We need to talk.
Come on, Harold, let's get cracking!
I spend the rest of the morning at my desk. And then, come lunchtime, I walk to the Dudley Cafe. Michelle is by herself in a booth. She's reading a newspaper.
Mind if I join you?
I'm kind of working here, Kevin.
I'll be very quiet. I slide in across from her. She ignores me.
So, I'm guessing you're still upset.
I wasn't upset to begin with.
Michelle, you were ranting. You said I was dreary.
I just meant you're a little predictable, that's all.
Predictable?
Can you go sit at the counter? I have to work.
She disappears behind her newspaper. She's wrong, of course. I'm not predictable. That's crazy. I'm Mr. Spontaneity.
There he is, regular as clockwork. You want the usual, Reverend?
Thanks, Sheila.
Coming right up.
Predictable. How ridiculous.
Why are you reading a tabloid newspaper?
It's research.
Research? Since when does the Alberta Inquirer count as... Oh, no. Michelle...
Don't get excited.
Are you thinking what I think you're thinking?
I told you, it's time to shake things up.
By turning the Times of Dudley into a tabloid?
Unlike you, Kevin, I'm not a snob. I recognize that this tabloid is a legitimate news organ.
Oh.
Which, in case you haven't noticed, is extremely popular in Dudley. More people read this paper than my paper. Who am I to take the high road?
Okay, first of all, you're a total snob. You're a bigger snob than I am. You know what you are? A championship snob.
I am not.
Second of all, people buy the Times of Dudley expecting balanced, literate, high-minded, you know, reportage. Not the kind of squalid gossip this thing dishes out.
I can learn things from this tabloid.
Like what?
the structure.
Oh.
The attack, point of view.
Oh, not to mention where the aliens have landed.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh.
Predictable.
I can't stand it.
I gotta run, Kevin. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
Enjoy your usual.
I'm not happy about this. It's one thing to work out the kinks, but at this point, I feel like my head is about to explode. And so back at the church again, I find a quiet spot in the sanctuary. And I do something I've never done before. Ever. I meditate. I'm thinking not only will it calm me down, it'll prove once and for all that Michelle is wrong. I mean, no one would ever, ever expect me to meditate. Ever. It's more than unpredictable. It's shocking.
Okay, here we go.
Focus.
That's it. Breathe. And go. 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 Now. Wait. Wait, hold it. I need a mantra. That's what I need. A mantra. Go.
I picture myself as a bubbling wellspring of water which flows into a stream. And the stream flows into a river which in turn flows into the sea. And the sea is the sea of life. The sea is the sea of all being and of other seas also. And so all seas are the one sea, which is the sea which is me. I'm just starting to get the hang of it when I'm interrupted by Harold.
Reverend, are you okay? You sound like you're in agony.
Oh, I'm fine, Harold. Thanks for your concern.
You sound like... You know when the pigs are headed for the slaughterhouse and there's that moment when they see it coming? They know they're about to die and they all start squealing in panic and like terror. Well, that's what you sounded like.
It was my mantra.
Your what?
I was meditating.
Sounded painful.
What can I do for you, Harold?
Reverend, I don't think I'm up for this job.
Chief of staff.
I've never been chief of anything. I got no experience, no qualifications. I can't even turn on the computer, let alone type anything. And meanwhile, Verna's got all these demands.
What happened anyway up in Edmonton? I got the sense there was something she wasn't telling us.
I'll tell you what happened. She's turned into a crazy person. That's what happened. She's changed, Reverend. I wish she'd never become a politician. I want the old Verna back.
Harold, I'm sure it won't last. It's a new situation for Verna and for us, too. We're working out some of the kinks.
You think?
Absolutely.
I guess so. You mind if I sit here with you, Reverend, just for a couple of minutes?
Of course not.
I won't interrupt your pig thing.
My mantra.
I'll just take a little breather. That's good, Reverend. Yeah.
Oh.
Very relaxing.
That night at the manse, I can't wait to burst Michelle's bubble. To prove to her once and for all that I am right and that she is massively, massively wrong.
How's your work going, honey?
Good.
Let me guess. UFOs, Elvis sightings in the supermarket.
It's something like that.
I decide to just drop it in, just casually, out of the blue.
Oh, by the way, I've decided to take up meditation. Did you hear what I just said?
Uh-huh.
I decided to take up...
Meditation, I heard you.
Well, doesn't that surprise you? Shock you, even?
No, Kevin, it doesn't surprise me. It's also not real.
What do you mean it's not real?
It's the grand gesture. You always do the grand gesture. You make your point, but it never sticks. 2 days later, you're right back and you're right again. Meditation, please.
Okay, now this is really not fair.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's it. Stop typing. Stop typing. This isn't funny, Michelle. You can't just say every time I say something that you knew I was going to say it.
But I do know you're going to say it.
Okay, smarty pants, what am I going to say next? Huh? Come on. Tell me what I'm going to say right now. Right now.
Nothing. Your head is empty, Kevin. You've got no comeback, no arguments, nothing. You're completely beat.
That is... That's totally...
She's right. I can't stand it.
I'm going to bed.
Oh, wait. I need your advice on this story.
Forget it.
Kevin.
Why should I give you advice? You already know what I'll tell you. Heck, why should we even have conversations? You can do it all yourself. You can say what you would say, then what I would say, then what you would say, then what I would say. You don't need me.
Kevin, you're overreacting, as usual.
I'm not talking about it.
Kevin.
I'm not talking about it.
Fine.
Fine.
I lie in bed, fuming. I try to relax and breathe. But, of course, it doesn't work. Typical. I end up punching out the pillow, which is what I always do when I'm frustrated. And then also, as always, I give up. And I fall asleep. I spend most of the next day sulking and giving Michelle the silent treatment. She doesn't seem in the least concerned, which, of course, only makes me madder. We drive in total silence out to the new microwave tower. Berna and Harold are right behind us on the highway. We all pull up together.
Hey, there's nobody out here.
Uh-oh.
Where's all the people? There's supposed to be all kinds of people out here.
Oh, look, there's somebody.
It's Sheila.
You guys! Where the heck have you been?
Are you the only one who showed up?
Well, of course I'm not the only one that showed up, Verna. Half the freaking town showed up, except for you.
Well, where are they?
Well, where do you think they are? They left. You're an hour late.
Oh, my gosh.
But we said 2:00.
Not to them, you didn't.
We didn't?
Not on the poster. Look, 1:00.
Oh.
Harold.
I was sure it said 2.
I can't believe you screwed it up.
It's not my fault. It was that damn computer. I think it must be busted.
Don't worry, Verna. We did it without you.
What?
You did?
Yeah. Except at first we didn't have any ribbon. And then Arnie Patrick had this piece of twine in his truck, so we used that. But then we didn't have any scissors, so Phyllis had to, like, bite through it. So it wasn't so much a ribbon-cutting ceremony as it was like a...
twine-biting ceremony.
Yeah. But it was still good. Everyone clapped. Including this guy I met from Edmonton, who the whole time was, like, totally coming on to me nonstop.
What guy?
What's his name? He told me he works for the Premier, but I'm like, yeah, right, buddy, you're just trying to get into my pants.
His name wasn't Gordy by any chance, was it, Sheila?
That's it! Gordy! Oh, he was hot.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought Gordy was coming next week.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet that damn fax machine got it wrong.
Did he say anything else, Sheila?
Said I had a nice butt.
Apart from that?
He said he came for a meeting with Verna, a breakfast meeting tomorrow morning.
Verna, are you okay?
You look like you're about to faint.
Would you excuse me? I have to go now.
I'm right behind you.
No, Harold, you stay here. You can catch a ride back with a reverend.
Verna, it wasn't my fault.
I'll see you back in town.
Oh, boy, am I in trouble.
I don't get it. Who is this Gordy guy?
Why is Verna so scared of him?
Sheila, did he tell you his last name?
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
No.
Was it Fortis or Parker? Purdy, maybe.
Yeah, Purdy. Gordy Purdy.
You've heard of him?
There was a piece in last week's Alberta Inquirer. He's like the party's strongman, does all the Premier's dirty work. They call him the Enforcer.
You see, I was right. Something did happen in Edmonton.
Verna must be in trouble.
What are we going to do?
I think we better have a little meeting of our own.
We repair to the Dudley Cafe to plan our strategy.
All right, listen up. I've got a plan. Obviously, this breakfast meeting tomorrow is going to be bad news for Verna. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it's up to us to provide her with a little leverage.
What does that mean?
Leverage.
Do we know where he's staying?
Yes. Out of the coachman. He asked me back to his room to party in the hot tub.
Good. Here's what we're going to do. Kevin, don't interrupt.
I wasn't going
to. You were about to tell us how you have a bad feeling about this and how you strongly disapprove of the whole situation, but we don't want to hear it.
Yeah, Reverend, we don't want to hear it.
I wasn't going to say that.
Michelle just looks at me.
I was not.
She's right, of course. I was going to say that, word for word. This is really starting to bug me.
Now, listen carefully.
Sure enough, that evening, I find myself in the parking lot of the Coachman Motor Hotel, crouched behind a car and peering out at room 12A. Beside me are Michelle, Harold, and Sheila.
Everyone ready?
What if it doesn't work?
Harold, relax.
My stomach's in knots.
I can't believe we're doing this.
Okay, now, Sheila, remember, the first thing you have to do is get him out of the room. Just for a minute.
I'm going to ask him to show me his truck.
Perfect.
Oh, wait a second. Whoa, 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 whoa. Which truck?
Yeah, which truck?
Oh, where's it parked?
What if he sees us?
Would you two relax? It's the red one, down there at the other end.
Okay, you won't see us. Whenever you're ready, Sheila.
Okay, here I go.
I can't look.
Me neither.
What's happening?
She's going up to the door. She's knocking.
Oh, it's opening. Oh, there he is. There's Gordy. They're talking.
Oh, my gosh. I think I'm going to throw up.
Don't barf, Harold. I'll barf.
Oh, and they're off. Okay, let's do it. Go, 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 go.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Okay,
oh, God.
Harold,
oh, God.
Keep quiet.
We run up to Gordy's room, open the door to the room, and scramble inside. Inside, Michelle makes a beeline for the closet.
Okay, let's go. In here.
You're not serious.
The closet?
All three of us?
Just do it.
Somehow we all managed to fit inside. It's ridiculous.
Okay, I'm going to close the door.
Ow!
I'm sorry.
Keep it down. Look, they'll be back any second.
I don't understand why all three of us have to be crammed inside the same closet.
You're my protection.
Protection against who?
Against Gordy, Kevin. Who do you think?
That's ridiculous. You think Harold and I are going to, what, punch him out?
I'm not punching anyone.
Yeah, me neither.
Shh. You guys, hand me my camera bag.
Oh, ow.
Thank you.
I can't believe we're doing this.
Listen.
Do you see them? Where are they going?
Oh, that's it, Sheila.
Oh, my God.
One second thought. I don't want to know.
Good one.
Hmm? The purpose of this whole insane exercise is, of course, to blackmail Gordy. To threaten him with a tabloid expose complete with pictures of his wild night with the small-town waitress who was only too willing to give the detailed play-by-play. The fact that I, Reverend Kevin, the moral pillar of the community, is involved in this sordid exercise is something I really can't think about. I only have one thing to say for myself. It's all Michelle's fault. She made me do it. Honest. Next morning at 9 sharp, armed with the photos, we crash for Verna's meeting, only to discover that once again, Harold has gotten the time wrong. The breakfast meeting is over, and Verna is sitting all by herself in a booth.
Gordy just left. You just missed him.
Well, un-be-freaking-leavable.
Harold, sorry, everyone.
So what happened, Verna? What did he say?
You might as well all sit down.
Excuse me.
Now, just keep quiet while I tell you this, okay?
Okay.
I mean it. No interruptions.
Okay.
The long and the short of it is, I'm no longer your MLA.
Why are you?
No interruptions.
Sorry.
Here's what happened. When I went up to Edmonton last month,
right.
And I went into the legislature,
right.
Well, I had a little sort of meltdown. Now, don't get me wrong. They're all good people deep down with good intentions. It's just that they're so rude to each other. Interrupting and shouting insults and catcalls. And when they do say something, you get the distinct feeling that they're lying through their teeth.
Can I interrupt?
No.
I know what you're going to tell me, Reverend.
Please don't say that.
You think I'm naive. It's just typical behavior for politicians, and the fact that I expected anything else only shows how laughably naive I am. Well, just let me say this. You're right.
That's not
I
right.
am naive, and frankly, I want to stay naive, because the alternative is to be cynical and jaded and rude.
But, Verna, what happened? You said you had a meltdown.
How come she gets to interrupt?
Shh. Basically, I stood up my first time ever in the legislature. And I gave them a piece of my mind.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't pretty.
I can imagine.
I'm sure you can, Harold. And I want to apologize for giving you such a hard time since I got back.
But, Verna, what?
I'm getting to that, Reverend. The Premier wants to bring some fancy professor into the cabinet.
And they need someone to give up their seat.
And give him my little performance.
Yeah, well, I can understand.
It's okay. The truth is, I couldn't be more relieved. I was never cut out for politics. I knew it from day one, and I've just been denying it. I'll find other ways to serve my community. I don't want to be like them. I just don't.
Well, Verna, all I can say is I'm glad for you. But I'm sad for us. We're in desperate need of politicians like you. You would have been incredible.
Hear, hear.
Oh, Reverend, you always say the right thing.
It's true, he does. He never fails. We can always rely on you, honey.
I'll say, every single time.
Turns out, what with all the goings-on, that I'm not quite able to finish writing my sermon. In fact, I'm not able to start it. And so, come Sunday morning, I find myself standing up at the pulpit in front of a full congregation and winging it.
Good morning. Well, as usual, I'll begin with a piece of scripture. It's what I do every Sunday, for those of you keeping track. And this week, it seems, will be no exception. From the Gospel according to Matthew.
But then I stop. I look down at the congregation, all the upturned faces, most of them trying hard to look interested, some of them already fast asleep. And smack in the middle is Michelle. Awake, but with that smug look on her face. The one that says she knows not only that I'm winging it, but everything I'm about to say.
You know, it strikes me this is such a nice, quiet place, and you all seem so relaxed. Let's try something a little different. A little meditation, what do you say? Huh? Repeat after me.
Now the faces are full of confusion. Some look panicked even.
Come on.
But all of them are wide awake.
All together now. Come on.
I sneak one more look at Michelle. And finally.
Concentrate.
Finally, I see what I've been waiting to see. The smug look is gone. And in its place is a look of pure, unadulterated surprise.
Deadly Chronicles are created and written by Greg Nelson. In the cast, Richard Side plays the Reverend Kevin Drzkowski, Jillian Fargy plays Michelle, Bridget O'Sullivan is Verna, and Lee Taylor is Harold. Sheila is played by Tabitha St. Germain. Original music was composed and performed by Brian Tate. The script consultant is Dave Carley. The recording engineer is Chris Cutress. The associate producer is Dagmar Kafunka Nunn. The producer and director is Kathleen Flaherty. And the executive producer is Damiano Pietropaolo. Tomorrow on the program, Bill Richardson will be back, and he's going to be speaking with Ian Ferguson, who's a Canadian writer now living in Los Angeles. He's just published a very funny and dramatic collection of stories about growing up in a northern Alberta town. You'll also hear excerpts of a recent concert featuring the CBC Radio Orchestra, along with Bill reading from his new series, which he calls his Chinatown Diaries. I'm Andrea Hunter. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you again soon.